Welcome into Locked On Knicks. I am Alex Wolf. He's Gavin Shaw. We are here to talk about some exciting and troubling news in Knicks land right now. There's some swirling reports about potential front office and coaching drama.
Yeah, we get into all three of them. One focused on David Fizdale saying that he is potentially on the way out. Another one saying by the end of the season, he could be gone along with Steve Mills and Scott Perry. And finally, the Knicks may be in the market for Masai Ujiri. In other news, I would love to be dating a supermodel right now, but that's not happening. We'll get into all that next on Locked On Knicks.
You are Locked On Knicks, your daily New York Knicks podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Knicks is all rebound, back up, off the glass, it's good! RJ Barrett brings the Knicks to the
win! What he does is contagious.
Robinson with a catch and slam. Across the lane, Knox foul from behind, count it, and one, as Fizdale posts his fist.
Becomes infectious.
All right, welcome to Locked On Knicks. Alex Wolf here, Gavin Shaw. Just a quick reminder to all you guys, first, before we get into the show today, there is a Knicks watch party 2 days from today. It's going to be at Penn 6, 132 West 31st Street. That's this Thursday, November 14th. We're opening things up at 7 o'clock, even though the game doesn't start till 8. It's, of course, the second Dallas game of the year, so it's Porzingis' return to the Garden. If you didn't feel like spending a mint to get in the building, you can come party with us for free. There's going to be beer and wine specials all night. I believe it's $5 select beers, $6 select wines. It's brought to you in part by Wagner Family Wine and Budweiser, a big sponsor. And that's, of course, with us Locked On Knicks, posting and toasting Knicks Film School, Knicks Fan TV, The Nick of Time Show, a Hard Knicks Life podcast, and NYK Terry and Trey. So we definitely hope to see you guys there. Again, that's this Thursday, November 14th, 7 o'clock p.m. at Penn 6 on 132 West 31st Street, pretty close to the Garden.
But if you want to hang out with Alex and I even sooner, you can watch tonight's Bulls game with us. There's a new app called Hot Mic. Alex and I are, at least, they're hiring us on a trial basis to work as broadcasters during the game. So all you got to do is download the app. You can use either my code Gavin23 or Alex's code Alex908. That is in all caps. And then just head to the Knicks Bulls game, clicked on the Locked On Knicks feed. And essentially what it'll be is you'll see a live picture of mine and Alex's beautiful mugs watching the game and broadcasting the game. And what you can do, because we're actually using the feed from the Chicago Bulls, you can sort of pause your TV for a sec, line it up with us talking, and then you get to listen to us broadcast the game, which is pretty, pretty cool. And even better is we're going to really encourage listener interaction. So if you have questions for us during the game, just general comments, I want to say something nice, want some insight on something that's happening on the court, you can just either tweet at us or comment in the app and we can answer it live and talk about it as the game is going on. So that's just something we're going to try out. It's another medium that we can interact with you guys, gives us a little extra time live to participate during games. And we think it's going to be really cool. So again, the app is Hot Mic. You can use my code Gavin23 or Alex's code Alex908 and join us to watch Knicks Bulls tonight at 8 o'clock. But Alex, we should get into it. It's been kind of a crazy 24 hours to be a Knicks fan.
Yeah, well, of course, we talked about in the post game the other day about the press conference that sort of rocked the world with Steve Mills and Scott Perry coming out to address Knicks fans and the media and everything else to say that they are unhappy with the team's 2-8 start to the year. And it was pretty eye-opening and different. And, you know, it sort of got everybody talking. And then, of course, Adrian Wojnarowski of ESPN comes out and drops a, I don't know if I call it a bombshell report, but a pretty big report almost immediately after. He says in his story, even before a startling news conference in the wake of a blowout loss to Cleveland on Sunday, New York Knicks president Steve Mills had started to lay the internal groundwork for the eventual dismissal of coach David Fizdale, league sources told ESPN. Mills is selling owner James Dolan on a roster constructed to be highly competitive in the Eastern Conference, leaving Fizdale vulnerable to an ouster only weeks into the second season of a four-year contract that league sources say is worth $22 million. So, kind of a lot to unpack there. First off, that Mills, and they specifically say Mills, you know, Woj specifically says Mills and not Perry, is trying to get David Fizdale packing. And also is trying to sell Dolan on the roster being very competitive, which is certainly an interesting way to look at things. I mean, I think even in the best case scenario, we thought maybe this team could potentially, you know, try to sneak into an 8 seed, but that was going to be the best case scenario. And I'd hardly call that like highly competitive. I'd say that that's, you know, they were at least trying to be better than last year's crappy team. But I think most of us kind of figured high 20s to low 30s as far as win total. And that was, you know, probably being relatively optimistic after a 17-win season.
Yeah, I mean, I was pretty down on them coming into the year. I know at one point this offseason, I sort of immediately regretted it when I looked at their roster, but I put out like my projected Eastern Conference standings, and I think I had the Hornets higher than the Knicks, and people were like, what the hell, man, that's insane. And like, I looked back on it, and I was like, oh, yeah, that's probably right. Like, the Hornets really don't have anyone, but guess what? They're somehow better than the Knicks. Again, this is just, we talked about it a lot last episode, and I don't want to go down the rabbit hole too far again, but this is an inherently flawed roster. It's a roster that, I mean, to begin with, like, they have some decent talent and they signed some decent players, but Randall and Marcus Morris, like, nominally the two best guys on this team, are just role players on an eighth seed in the Western Conference or on a middle of the road Eastern Conference team. Those are guys that are like your fifth or sixth best player. And you compound that with the fact that you have slightly below average talent and they don't really fit together, and your best player, as it turns out, RJ Barrett, is only 19 years old. I mean, this is sort of what's going to happen. And simultaneously, like, look, I'm not totally opposed to David Fizdale getting fired. I don't think he's the coach to lead the Knicks to prominence. Alex, you and I talked about it before the season. The whole logic behind having Fizdale is player development, and for him to be the Mark Jackson to someone else's Steve Kerr. Like, I think last season, it was hard to tell given the talent on the team, but it told us to some degree that as a tactician, he's not necessarily all the way there. I think what we've seen this season only further confirms that. And at the same time, the front office didn't do a good job of putting the team together. Both things can be true simultaneously. Maybe they all deserve to go. I wouldn't have an issue with that. But it's a conversation worth having and worth noting that it's not just David Fizdale.
Yeah, no doubt. I don't think that Fizdale deserves all the blame. I think he certainly deserves blame for not getting the most out of what's been given to him. And, you know, you and I kind of talked about this, you know, the other night, too, when we were talking about Fizdale being on the hot seat. Like, who's really to blame here? Obviously, the roster isn't perfect. I think that the front office prioritized the type of players that Fizdale tends to prioritize, though, which is players that create their own shot and stuff. And maybe the front office just should have known better and, you know, sought more defensive options and stuff like that, considering you were bringing in a rookie, you know, an RJ Barrett who you expected from day one to be able to create his own shot and stuff like that. And, you know, you already had Dennis Smith on the team and you had Kevin Knox, and, you know, bringing in one or two creators, fine, that's cool. But almost everybody that they brought in is shooting focused. I guess you could say not Elfrid Payton, but, you know, other than him, pretty much everyone was just all about being, you know, shooting. And that's pretty much it. So it's not ideal. I don't know. I think that Mills, if he's sort of going, if this Woj report is correct and he's basically going to Dolan being like, oh, this team should be a lot better than it is, and, you know, like a lot better, then he's kind of setting himself up for failure too, because I like Mike Miller a lot, who's, you know, used to be the coach of the Westchester Knicks and would probably be the interim coach if Fizdale gets canned. And I think that Miller, based off what I've seen from him, like with Westchester, would probably get a little more out of this team than Fizdale is right now. He'd at least establish some smart rotations that would hopefully get the most out of the team in that way. But I don't even think with better coaching that this team is really going to go much further. You know, I think there's definitely flaws. You could start putting Julius Randle in a position to succeed, and, you know, you can start spacing the floor a little better and staggering your defensive role players better so that the team isn't, you know, so you don't run into the Marcus Morris, Julius Randle, Bobby Portis situation where, you know, you can't defend anything. But all in all, I think that there's definitely a ceiling to this team, and the ceiling is nowhere near, you know, a team that could compete for anything, least of all, you know, a playoff spot or be quote unquote competitive. So I don't know. There's definitely a part of me that thinks, like, if Mills is doing this to try to get Fizdale fired and to try to scapegoat someone, then fine. I mean, that's his prerogative. That's probably how he stuck around MSG for so long. But he might be setting himself up for failure as well if he's trying to say that it's all Fizdale's fault and that this roster is actually competitive, because, quite frankly, it's not. All right, we're going to take our first break. But first, just a reminder that today's show is brought to you in part by Audible.
Audible has the world's largest selection of audiobooks and audio entertainment, including Audible Originals. Audible Originals are stories created exclusively for audio, including documentaries, exclusive audiobooks, and scripted shows that you can't hear anywhere else.
Audible keeps you informed, inspired, and entertained. You'll finish more stories when you listen with Audible and always be part of the conversation. With the convenient Audible app, you can listen anytime, anywhere, and on any device, mobile, Alexa-enabled, Bluetooth, and more.
And that comes in handy because you can listen at the gym, while shopping, in your car, while traveling. Anytime you can't read, you can listen with Audible. Audible members can easily exchange any title they don't love at any time. Members keep their library of listens forever, even if they cancel. Start a 30-day trial and choose one audiobook plus two Audible originals absolutely free.
So if that all sounds good to you, start listening with your 30-day Audible trial today. Choose one audiobook and two Audible originals absolutely free. Visit audible.com/lockedonNBA or text LockedOnNBA to 500-500. That's audible.com/lockedonNBA or text LockedOnNBA to 500-500.
And if Alex and I can give you a suggestion, might we recommend 11 Rings by Phil Jackson to bring you back to one of the glory eras of Knicks basketball?
Hey, are you in the New York area and looking to promote your business to a young, predominantly male demographic?
Then Locked On Knicks is the podcast for you. 80% of our listeners fall between the ages of 18 and 44, and 98% of those listeners are male. As the top Knicks podcast on the market, we offer a unique opportunity to engage with basketball fans in the city.
If interested in an ad spot or live read, email lockedonknicks@gmail.com for more information on pricing and availability. Our rates are very affordable compared to radio and offer a chance to reach an audience on an ever-growing platform.
I think the question you have to ask yourself is what would, and I think you're obviously like right on the nose in the reasoning the Knicks would do it would be for Mills to save his own ass. But I guess let's just look at this from like an idealistic perspective. Like, what would, like, if you and I were running the Knicks, what would be the reasoning to fire David Fizdale? For me, the only reason I would do it is if I think there's someone on the current staff who's, one, better at developing the young talent than he is, and if they were in full control, it would be better for the futures of guys like RJ Barrett, Frank Ntilikina, Mitchell Robinson, Alonzo Trier. And two, has the potential to be the Knicks' long-term coach, because you know, if they like get to this offseason and they do an open search, I honestly don't genuinely believe, unless they also hire like a great GM and the right GM for once, that someone like Mike Miller would be a candidate, because the Knicks are always going to go for the big name. They're always going to go for someone at least semi-established who has some cachet around the league. So I think the utility of firing someone like Fizdale now is you'd give someone like Miller a real shot at it. And if the Knicks do show demonstrable improvement, or even if just the young guys make a leap under him and he kind of cleans up the rotation and he's playing the right lineups and they look a little bit more functional. Like, I think what we saw from the Cavaliers last night is a great example. That's a team who isn't significantly more talented than the Knicks, if you want to say they're more talented than the Knicks, but they have a real coach in John Beilein who's had an immense amount of success for years and years and years. And they look way more cohesive offensively. They look extraordinarily engaged defensively. And that at this point in the season, that's really all I want from the Knicks. And if there's a guy on the staff that could force them to bring that every single night, then sign me up.
Yeah, I'm with you. I think it's just getting guys to buy in, but also not playing into guys' bad tendencies. One thing that I've noticed with Fizdale, and tell me if you agree with this, I feel like Fizdale, he has this rep as a player's coach, and I think that he does legitimately get along very well with his players, but I feel like Fizdale has a real problem saying no to guys. At least that's my impression. It seems like he lets guys play into their worst habits and doesn't have that like Greg Popovich gear in him where he can be like, no, like you're not going to do that. That's not going to win us games. Stop it. Play within the team concept. That's it. You know, it just doesn't seem like Fizdale has that sort of gruff coach in him that can really, you know, sort of dictate these things.
Yeah, no, it's not, it's just not there. I mean, the reason he's so beloved is because he's a player's coach, but you can't, it's this weird contrast. You can't totally do that as a head coach. Like, I think Steve Kerr has a lot of that in him, and it's one of his best qualities that he's this genuinely good guy, and he seems like inherently like kind of empathetic, having been a player, and just due to his sort of internal nature to like players' plights, and he's aware of that. But at the same time, like, he'll tear into a guy if he screws up on defense, and not that Fizdale like won't yell, but as you noticed, he doesn't seem willing to be able to like reassign like who's controlling the ball on offense. Like, on a young team like this, and with young players who don't really have an established track record, if you don't dictate who has the ball in their hands, inevitably guys like Julius Randle and Marcus Morris are going to dominate it. And now that's more credit to RJ Barrett, that he's just so obviously good that those guys are like, okay, he needs to get the ball. But someone like Frank Ntilikina, like, I mean, just from a personality perspective, and I mean, his relative success level to those guys in the league, if he's on a court with Randall's going to be the guy running the offense a little bit more than him. And it's a credit to Frank that he's sort of asserted himself a little bit more over these last few games than he is occasionally moving guys around. But if you're David Fizdale and you say, okay, intellectually, like, we're going to be at our best if Frank has the ball in his hands like 70% of the time when we're on offense, and I'm not saying that as a real number, just as an example, then he has to be the guy to say, hey, Julius, you got to screw off. Frank is going to have the ball. You need to be rolling to the basket. You need to be cutting off ball. You can't just be lazing around every time you don't have it. And he either seems unaware that that's an issue, or he seems incapable of correcting it. And that is a significant problem, I think.
I feel like we should address the next report that came out, which was from Ian Begley. And he said, and this kind of plays into what I was saying a moment ago about expectations versus reality, as far as what Mills is potentially selling to Dolan here, which obviously the whole thing the other night was spurred by Dolan. Like, he took Perry and Mills into the back, gave them a talking to, told them to talk to the media. They probably discussed Fizdale during whatever meeting that they had. And probably also talked about the team. And Mills probably said a lot of the things that were reported in the Woj story. But Begley says several people familiar with the matter told SNY on Monday that Mills, Perry, and Fizdale are all under greater scrutiny amid New York's 2-8 start. Quote, everyone's on notice, one source said. So the notion that Mills, who has served as either president or GM of the Knicks under Phil Jackson since 2013-14, would be immune to the consequences that would come if New York continues to underperform is inaccurate. So that's interesting. And you know what? I may as well just bleed it into the next report here. Frank Isola of The Athletic and then Ian Begley, again, of SNY, confirmed it. And this is from Isola's report. He said, according to several people familiar with the Knicks thinking, Dolan is plotting to take another run at Toronto Raptors president Masai Ujiri. It would take Phil Jackson-type money to lure Ujiri to New York, but spending the big bucks is never an issue for Dolan. The issue is always hiring the right person. But in Ujiri, unlike Jackson, Mills, and Perry, the Knicks would be bringing in an executive who has built a championship team. Ujiri is under contract through the 2021 season, and the Raptors ownership group will do anything and everything to keep him. However, Ujiri is an ambitious guy with powerful friends in high places, and we're not just talking about Barack Obama. NBA Commissioner Adam Silver is a close friend who remains forever frustrated with the train wreck in his own backyard. That is the Knicks. Good old Frank with some good Knicks bashing there. But at any rate, you know, there's now smoke that potentially Mills and Perry could be on the hot seat as well as Ujiri, as well as Fizdale, and they could be looking at Ujiri going forward, I'm sure, with an eye on the 2021 free agent class that could potentially include Giannis Antetokounmpo. So I don't know what your thoughts are about that, Gavin. I mean, I think the executives are a little different than coaches in that you can sort of judge what they did just by performance on the court, which obviously this season the fit issues with the roster that was constructed this summer have kind of been apparent. But I also think that executives are different because a lot of what they do is drafting and, you know, making personnel moves over a number of years that eventually add up and get you to a place where you can be relevant again if you're the Knicks. And I think, you know, as much as I'm probably team get rid of Fizdale at this point, if he doesn't improve, I don't know that I would be team get rid of the whole management structure at the end of the season when they're only, you know, this is what, 2.5 seasons in as far as their leadership, because you can't really count their first off season because they hired Perry so late in the process after the draft and after most of free agency had taken place. So I don't know. I would have a little bit of a problem getting rid of them so soon, I think.
Well, I mean, can we say it's fair to get rid of Mills at this point? I mean, how long has he been around now? Like, I know he took 6 seasons off, but it's, I don't think he knows what he's doing.
I don't think Mills does. I do think that Mills trusts Perry to build the team though. And by and large, since they brought Perry on, I've been okay with how things have gone personnel wise, I guess.
But Mills has been here. Why does Mills have a job? Like, he's been here 15 years.
Because Dolan likes Mills, and that's
okay,
it.
Like, if they fired Mills tomorrow, you would be all right with that, right?
Oh, sure. I mean, because yeah. I don't really know that Mills is doing anything, if we're being completely honest. Like, I think Mills is kind of just a figurehead. And I think that Perry is the brains behind the operation. And I think that Mills brought Perry in specifically to be the brains of the operation and, you know, to make the big decisions. And basically Mills just signs off on them, because the last big decision that Mills made was signing Tim Hardaway Jr. to that big contract and signing Ron Baker to a 2-year deal for like $4 million a season. So I wouldn't care if Mills was gone, but okay. I feel like they'd go as a package, you know.
Right.
Like,
okay.
So you really just fall with Mills.
So you're really talking about Perry when you're talking about the front office. And I don't know if he deserves to get fired. I mean, I just thought this. I don't get what the logic of this offseason was totally. And I mean, I questioned it in real time. I'm questioning it now that we're seeing it on the court. Like, it's a poorly constructed team. And I also get, like, I appreciate that he maintained flexibility. And he clearly, like, very solid drafting record so far. Like, he's really, for the most part, like, kicked ass in the draft. You can't really say he's made a wrong pick yet. Like, obviously, maybe there are guys who went behind Kevin Knox you'd rather have than Kevin Knox. But one of the main ones is Mitchell Robinson, and they ended up getting him. Anyways, that being said, I mean, if the Knicks could get Masai Ujiri, they should go get Masai Ujiri, because he's done it in Denver. He's done it again in Toronto. That guy is pretty blatantly, transparently, however you want to phrase it, one of the top 5 or 6 executives in the league. Now, I don't know why he would want to leave Toronto, because they have a pretty darn good situation in terms of their coach, in terms of their future, and just the amount of power there. And my question, as it is anytime, like, the Knicks are bandied around with hiring, like, legitimately great executive, is like, all right, but, like, that guy's going to demand full power. Like, David Griffin wanted it 3 years ago. In retrospect, I mean, you saw, I clearly, like, they got lucky with getting the number one pick, but you saw what David Griffin did with that team in one summer. No, they're not very good this year, but he rebuilt them in a rapid fire, super duper smart way. And they look really, really good going forward. And I would love to have David Griffin as the GM for the Knicks right now, but James Dolan he just refused to sign off on the idea of Griffin having full power. And you gotta bet, if you're offering Masai Ujiri the job, he's saying, all right, but I need final say on everything. And Dolan and Mills, if he continues to survive, like, they have to be all right with that. And I don't think it's going to happen. So I don't even think it's realistic to begin with. And for that reason, it's almost like a fruitless conversation. And I wonder if Dolan will ever get to the point again, like he did with Phil Jackson, where he's like, okay, I'm ready to give you absolute power.
See, I actually think that this would be the rare case where Dolan would absolutely give full power, because I think if one thing's been really apparent over the last, half decade now, maybe even a little longer, is that Dolan has a huge, love-hate man crush on Masai Ujiri ever since the Bargnani trade, which, you know, pissed him off and whatever. And then the Kyle Lowry trade, which then, or the non-trade, I should say, where the Knicks could have gotten Kyle Lowry for whatever it was. It's like Shumpert, Meta World Peace, and I think their first round pick for that season, the 2013-14 season. Ever since that deal got pulled as well, because Dolan was afraid of being looked at like he lost to Masai again. I feel like Dolan has had just a big time, you know, man crush on him, basically, of like, I want him to run the Knicks because I think he can bring the Knicks back. It kind of reminds me of of The Office, kind of. What was the name of the road salesman that was like Jim and Dwight's nemesis?
Oh, I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, I forget the name, but in that episode, Michael literally goes out and is like, yeah, I'll go, you know, compete with him or whatever. And he literally goes and just hires him and goes, well, you know, don't beat your enemy, just hire your enemy. And I feel like that would be Dolan's strategy with Masai. And he'd give him basically a blank check to run the Knicks and say, do what you want. You know, I trust you. Of all people, I trust you because you've fleeced my team once or twice. And I know that you can do it. So, you know, go ahead and build the Knicks into a contender.
His name is Danny Cordray.
Danny Cordray, that's right. Oh, I forgot the name. Yeah, so he would be James Dolan's Danny Cordray. He would go out and just pick him up and, you know, just tell him to do it. And, you know, I don't think he would have any second thoughts about giving him full power.
I would like James Dolan a lot more if I could just think of him as a Michael Scott type figure. So I think Alex, you've done more to change my opinion of James Dolan than anyone ever has in that 30-second monologue. I think with that, unless you had anything else to note, I think we can just about wrap this one up, because we're also going to do a pod tonight recapping the Bulls game. And as we mentioned earlier, we're going to be live during the Bulls game on a hot mic, which you should download on your phone.
Yep. And maybe we'll be potting in person for the first time ever, too. That could be interesting.
Wow. Yeah.
To do. So we'll see how that goes, depending on how quick you got to catch a train back home or whatever. But we'll figure that out. We're certainly going to have a pod out post-gaming this Bulls game. But yeah, check out the Hot Mic app. It's available on iOS. No Android yet, unfortunately. So sorry to any Android users like myself. But if you're on iOS, if you have a iPhone, iPad, whatever, be sure to download that and watch along to the game with us. And your code is Gavin23, correct?
Yeah, you nailed it.
Mine is Alex908. So feel free to use either of those codes to get yourself hooked up. Otherwise, we hope you guys have a good day, and we'll be back with another pod for you tomorrow. Peace out.